your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of John, John chapter number 10. When you find that, put your finger there and turn to Psalm 23. We're going to be in Psalm 23 for the evening. I love to be in church. And I tell you what, I get so tired of the world saying Christians can't have fun. I have a good time. I've been at this long enough to where I realize, you know what, serving God is a blast. And it's hard to believe a quarter century I've been working in ministry, and I feel like I'm getting old, but I'm still having a good time. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but serving Jesus is a wonderful thing. You can't beat when you see a young person come to church, going through some of the train wrecks that they're dealing with, and see them get saved, and a smile on their face and joy in their heart when they come out of their messed up situations, and they just love coming to church. You can't beat that. And so I just want to encourage you, keep being faithful. When I was going out to the van, I don't know, one of your kids came in like, Mrs. Barnes is here. It just did something for me because I've known her for a long time, and what that does is it encourages me when you see somebody that's just at it and at it and at it and at it. So thank you, Mrs. Barnes, for being faithful. Thank you. I don't know all of you. I tried to shake hands with you on the way in and so forth, but just be faithful. The Bible says, required in stewards that a man be found. We often look and say it's required that we're successful, but that's not what God says. But we can all be faithful. And so I've seen, as I've traveled the last couple of years especially, a lot of people have faded away from church. A lot of people have faded away from church. And so let's encourage one another to be faithful. That's why I like church, because you gather together. You might have had a bad day, but somebody can come around and say, praying for you. How can I help you? Let's encourage one another. And, you know, you see this in sports, high fives, kind of pat on the back. We need to do the same thing in the house of God. And so we have a wonderful book that can encourage us along the way. I'm just glad that we can serve our wonderful Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes people get up and they introduce me as a speaker. I'm looking forward to some of my people at summer camp this summer, July. I get to preach to the kids at summer camp this upcoming summer, and so I'm looking forward to that. But sometimes people give an introduction. But you read the book of John, you'll find that Jesus introduces himself in all ways. He'll say something like this: I am the bread of life. That would not be my introduction about myself. I am the door. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. We come to John chapter number 10, and we see in verse number 11, he introduces himself again. We call this the I-ams of Christ. All the way back in Exodus, when Moses stood by the burning bush, and God introduced himself, Moses said, who am I going to say sent me to deliver you out of the land of Egypt? And the voice from the bush simply said, I am that I am. And I know it's present tense. It's that I was that I was. I am that I am. The verse number 11, we come and we find this. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse number 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of my name. For us to wrap our minds around this, it's hard for me because I have never been involved with working with sheep. How many have sheep at your household? Anybody? Okay, so you're like, no, I can talk about shepherding, I can talk about flocks, but really, I don't know much about it except what I read on the internet, or read from the particular book. Jesus comes and he tells the people of Israel who understand sheep and understand the shepherd, I am the good shepherd, and he gives us discourse and the hireling and so forth. Aren't you thankful that we have a good shepherd? And he's not just a shepherd that walks his road. He gives his life for the sheep. Yeah. Now turn over to Psalm 23, and this is a familiar psalm to all of us, I believe. I'd like to just encourage you tonight. I'm assuming it's a Wednesday night chat. I assume that everybody here tonight knows the shepherd. And I said, man, this would be a good time to get to know the shepherd. Here is the good shepherd. And maybe I said, well, Lewis, I do know the shepherd. Well, let me encourage you. How about if you know the shepherd, you can go out and talk about the shepherd. I have my hopes. If I came to you tonight and said, hey, can I, do you have grandkids? You might get to see a smile on your face and pull out your phone and just start swiping. I'm like, I really don't want to see him. I was just asking a simple question. Do I have them? Because you just kind of got that smile because there's something special when it comes to your grandkids. What about the Lord? It is, I'm not a sermon, but if somebody comes and says, why do you have that smile on your face? You can say, hey, let me tell you. But if there is God, the 12-year-old boy, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Hey, but I am your shepherd. Exciting stuff. Psalm 23. Who knows the psalm? Psalm 23. Let's do this. Let's just go ahead and read all six verses together, and then we'll give you some thoughts in the next, I think I can squeeze it in the next 20 minutes. If it gets boring, just throw something at me, Miss Erica, and we'll be good to go. Psalm 23. Let's read verses 1 through 6 together. Would you? Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, if you look right above verse number 1, it says Psalm 23, and maybe in your Bible it doesn't say it, but generally right below, do you have it there? What does it say? A Psalm of... Again, as I said, if I were going to write a psalm like this, it would be kind of just words that I had to steal from encyclopedia. But David could write this psalm, I'll tell you why, because he understood the life of a shepherd because he was one. He could talk about this, we'd say, intellectually because he understood it. Now, I love the story of David. I love to tell it in junior church. I love to imitate and have this idea of him slinging a sling. I don't know, 8-10 years ago, I was privileged to go to the land of Israel and went to the Valley of Elah. And we were on the Israelite side, or so we thought. And we kind of illustrated David and Goliath, and I got to be David, and another boy got to be Goliath, and I still live on. Praise the Lord for that. But David writes this psalm, understanding the importance of the shepherd. Even read about Moses. Moses could talk about shepherding and leading because he was one. Now, it's interesting to note when the people of Israel were coming, Joseph brought his father and his brethren to the land of Egypt. Do you remember what Joseph told his father and his brothers? Don't tell them the shepherds. Because they despise shepherding. You know, it's interesting to note, Egypt has always been a picture of what? Help me out tonight. The world. Do you know what? The world doesn't like the shepherd of your flock. Some things have never changed. The pastor is called the under-shepherd, following the chief shepherd. So that's why it's a good thing, folks, to pray for your pastor. I can say this. Here's a young man, and this is new territory for him. And I don't think he says, people, I got it figured out. I think he would welcome the fact that you would just get down on your knees on a regular basis and pray for he and his wife and his family, because the Lord despises a shepherd that loves his flock and loves the Word of God. So I'm sure David understood sheep. So he comes to the psalm and he simply says, the Lord, and then you look down and you probably know the this a little bit. That word Lottie is in all capital letters. That's a significant thing because that's the word that we use for Jehovah. Now, people come and say, when I'm door knocking, I still have to wear a certain tie when I go door knocking, and people look out and say, you're one of those Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm like, no, but I do witness for Jehovah. I'll tell you what, I'm not afraid of that term Jehovah. I'll tell you why, because that word Jehovah means the self-existent one. You know, God does not need us to exist. I see these little babies that the moms are carrying around. Sometimes dads are safe enough to carry them around. And they're just little babies, and everybody's lying and eyeing and all that type of thing. But really, those babies cannot function on their own. They need mama. But here's the problem. Sometimes we get to our life, and after being saved for 20 years or for 30 years, there was a time when you bowed your knee and you said, Lord, I need you to save my soul. There's the word for that. He comes along and he helps us when it comes to salvation. But the problem for us is this. We'll begin to think that we can exist without him. You say, Brother Amos, I never will do that. Well, how many times have you gone through your day without cracking open your Bible and getting on your knees and saying, Lord, I need strength. I need your help for today. You know what you're saying is, I don't need the Lord today. I can exist on my own. That's a thought. Guilty. Because, you know, you've been in the ministry a long time. You can just pack up and go just like you always have. But watch me. Samson did the same thing. He began to think he could self-exist, and he could serve, and he could fight, and he could live on his own. But watch me. He didn't even know that the power of the Lord was gone. That's a dangerous place for us to be, Christians. But I'm so thankful to say tonight, David can write Jehovah. The self-existent one is my shepherd. So can we look at it real fast, and I'll give you a couple thoughts. Number one, he is a personal shepherd. A personal shepherd. What does he say? The Lord is, help me out tonight, the Lord is, Brother Sean, let's just say, I walked outside the church tonight, and his vehicle's sitting out there. And I had a baseball bat, and I had a hammer, and I had some weapons of mass destruction. And I walked out there. Is your vehicle out there? It is out there. So I go out there, and I'm looking around. I'm like, yeah, Brother Sean was kind to us. He bought food, but I still don't like him. And I went down and just started smashing his windows and slitting his tires and started tearing out the interior of his vehicle. And I look at, whoa, man, what is this guy doing? He's nuts! Which I am. It would bother me, but you might not really step in and interfere until I started doing that to yours. So you said, because if you just simply said to the Lord, hey, shepherd, it loses the personal touch, if you will. I love to be around kids, but I really love to be around, is it Martha? Around my kids. This is fun. We've had a good time the last 2 weeks, but I'll tell you what, tomorrow night when I fly into Chicago, my wife picks me up, and I reunite with Gideon and Titus and Marissa and Charles, and I've got stuff in my bag for them. I hope it doesn't get stolen tomorrow as we go through the security center. I'm looking forward to reuniting and spending time with my kids. And there's something real about something when it becomes personal. Look over to Exodus 15 real quick. Keep your finger there in Psalm 23. The people of Israel had just crossed the Red Sea, and they've seen God do a wonderful thing in defeating the Egyptians. Look at 14, verse 31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now watch me, verse chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now watch me, verse 2. The Lord has put me out my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He has my my God, and I will prepare my habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. You see, the song changes when you see God work miracles for you. When you see God fight battles for you, it's easy for pastor to go up and say, let's pray about this, and God answer this prayer. But when he starts to answer your prayers, you know what you'll start to see? God is a personal God. That's when the Christian life gets to be a lot of fun. The Lord is my shepherd. Now watch me. When my kids were little, they had a problem with saying mine. I don't know if you ever dealt with that, but there'd be 50 toys in the nursery. They would walk in, and there's another kid in there, and the kid would have one of the 50, so there's 49 left. Are you with me? Joe, you probably never did this, I'm sure. And for some reason, they sauntered over to the kid that was there with the one toy. And I coach wrestling, so I taught him some good moves. And my brother would take down, throw that kid in the floor, and take it and say something to this effect. Mine. So I began to figure out, how can I help my children with this? So we went home, we worked on this, we trained them. Every time we heard that, I said, no, that is Dad's. Everything is Dad's. Everything is Dad's. Everything, nothing is yours. And we just taught and taught, and sometimes we'd fight over my wife's shoe and say, whose is that? It's Dad's. No, let's stop talking. But the Lord knows my heart tonight. We have family devotions. I believe in family devotions. We teach our kids to be in their Bible on a regular basis. There's going to come a point, and I hope very soon, especially with my older two, where this is not just Daddy's book. This is not just Pastor Crumb's book. This is not Mrs. Byron's book. This is not Mrs. S, right? This is, I can't say her last name. But my mom says something like this, Daddy. This is, you know what happened? They'll want to read it. They'll want to protect it when they say it's not just my Father's God anymore. It's my God. Someone will cuss out in the workplace. They're going to say, no, don't talk about his name like that. Do you know he died for you and he died for me? Because things change when something becomes personal. So tonight, can I remind you the Lord is my shepherd. Are we having fun yet? I am. Number two. He's not only a personal shepherd, he is a providing shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let me say it this way. There is nothing I will lack. There is nothing I will need if I'm following Jehovah, the good shepherd. David says this, I don't need anything because the Lord is my shepherd. And he said it probably when he was young. And he says it later on when he's in Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He wants it into something consistent. And so as a young person, he'll pray and ask people, say, they follow the Lord, and they just seem like they always have the desires of their heart. Now he's old. I can just pictures, now I'm out, and it's still seen the same. If you follow the shepherd, he's going to provide for you. Did like Elijah learn that? At the brook Cherith? Can we, Abigail, can you picture for a moment? You probably know the story. He's sitting there a little hungry. The stomach's growling just a little bit. Aunt Lord, you told me to come by the brook Cherith. Imagine the shadows of those ravens coming across. I don't know how big Elijah's appetite was. I don't know how many times he went to the buffet and says, Raven, I need another one. I don't know how long it worked. But I know day after day, Elijah learned the lesson that my God will provide. Do you believe that tonight? Now, here's a thought. This is kind of a blunt statement, but I'll say it. If you are not being provided for, you might want to check who your shepherd is. I got a couple of young people right over here. You know what I watch a lot of young people today? Stiff arm mom and dad. Stiff arm the pastor. I got this figured out. I I can live my life on my own. And there's this constant struggle to provide for themselves. Can I say this? It don't work. Excuse my English. Because I've learned this. He will take care of your needs. It's not just a cliche verse in Philippians chapter 4 that says, my God shall supply all you need. Paul is writing that, may I remind you, from prison. And he doesn't seem like a discontented person because all I hear him say is, rejoice, 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 rejoice. You know why? Because he had a God who would supply his needs again and again and again. The Lord is a providing shepherd. But we get some. Are you okay if I come down? Okay, I just want to make sure. I've never preached in here before, so I don't want to get fired. You have five kids. When you go to a restaurant and you have a nice meal, fancy meal, steak dinner, you know, what's that Shady Maple? How does that sound? Good deal. Shady Maple, now it's about $20 a pound if you go for lunch. So that would be five kids, seven, $140-ish. All right, so that's a pretty expensive deal. When, let's just say there's a lot of waitresses that I don't know. They just kind of have you pay right up front. But let's just say they came, little waitress came out, and they had that bowl and that little salad that they had normally, and they come out to you, hold on, hand the bowl to. She says, Dad. Now, I thought everybody was equal. That's how kids first. And they say, no, 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 no. I mean, come on, I'll stay with me. And that's the way we live in. But for some reason, somebody's worth money, right? Even in a crazy world, they still don't understand and watch me that the dad's got it taken care of. Help me out. And so they come out and they're awesome to me. How do you want to go? What they said? Who's that thing now? Go back to bed. Go back to bed. Just an understanding that I'll ask. Yeah. On all of our currency, there are four words. In God, and I think maybe because we use credit card, that's why we get in trouble now, because our name's on it. That's a finance without bad rams that we come. But we fit, and we fit, and we fit, and we fit, and we fit. But oh no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Can I just say what's going to happen if you follow the shepherd? He is going to provide for your needs. Amen! 15, 18 years ago, the Lord led me into evangelism. Number one, I didn't want to do it. Number two, I didn't like evangelist. Number three, I went to a pastor and I said something to this effect. Oh, man, I think the Lord's leading me to evangelism. He said, okay. We talked about it for a while. And then after a while, we met. He says, all right, what's going to happen is you're going to, your pay's going to get cut 70%. He said, you can't preach, so you're going to struggle to get meetings. And he was very kind and gracious to me, which is true. And I remember leaving that meeting feeling kind of discouraged, kind of down, because 70% is a lot, and you have no boss, and you can't preach, you have to clap without a paddle. So that is my witness. I went home from that meeting, I went to my house, I shut the door, I fell on my knees, and I said, God, I didn't ask to do this. I was perfectly content, teaching in our college, working in junior church, running the bus route. I'm amazed to do this. I say this. If I'm going to struggle through this, I don't want to do it. I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to just get any meeting. I'm going to have meetings that you're going to bless. I took my hands off of my finances. So I'm going to learn to trust you. I really probably up to the point where it comes. I've probably never done that before. But man, what a ride it's been. not even full-time evangelism. I work more at the church now than I did when I was full-time at the church. And I get out and travel. And you know what? God just somehow, He's got it figured out.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. I've learned that God I can trust. You know why? Because He's a providing shepherd. You said, what time I need to be done? What time? 9:15. Okay. I won't do that. Number three, quickly. He is a purposeful shepherd. You know, He has a plan and direction for His sheep. Now, again, it's hard for us to understand. My brother-in-law pastors down in Mexico City area, and he has a church kind of in the city and a church out in the country. The church in the city is in the city of Tula in the state of Hidalgo, and then there's one in the country. I just like saying this. I don't know Spanish, but it's called Tequisquiac. I just like saying that. It makes me sound like I know Spanish. But in that country, there are shepherds. And I see them taking their sheep, just small groups of sheep, and like, you ever wonder, where are they going? I mean, this is when our thoughts are like, they just walk around. Yes, cool. Something like that, I don't know. But just the idea is, our shepherd, what does it say? He makes us to lay down. Now, watch me, everybody's talking, yeah, nap time. Now, students, Bonnie will mention her name, she likes naps. Now, watch me, we live in a run, go world, don't we?
Yeah.
Sometimes, I've watched this, people will say, I just want to walk with God. I just want to be close to God. And then you'll hear something along these lines. Cancer. Loss of job. Terrible situation comes up in our minds. I make a lot of hospital visits, and I go into the hospital visit. I'm there for one purpose, to encourage the people in the hospital bed. Now watch me. When I leave, I feel this big of a Christian, and they're the ones that encourage me. And they'll say something like this, oh man, God has just dealt with me through this time. And I'm closer to God than I've ever been. I've had revival, and I sit back there and say, man, I want revival, but I don't know if I'm going to be close to my God. So be careful when you say, I want revival, and I want God to be more real than He ever has been, because He might just make you to lie down. And I often feel like, if I'm not, oh, I gotta go, and I'm tired all the time, and sometimes I'm out of strength. That's when God will say, hey, you haven't spent time with me. He will make us to lie down, you know why? Because He has a purpose. And when we run, we get away from the shepherd. Are you with me tonight? In a place of stillness and quietness, you can't go anywhere in the world in a place of stillness and quietness. And when you do, it's bang, 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 because your phone's going off, or this is going off, and you say, I'm going to meditate. And why are you meditating? Bang, bang. You know what I'm talking about? Because we don't like quietness. We don't like meditation. That's what God wants us to do, is make us to lie down in peace and quietness. He makes me to lie down. He leadeth me. Aren't you glad that the shepherd guides our path? Several years ago, we took our teenagers to whitewater rafting, the Gauley River, and I forget the other one, over in West Virginia. I don't know why we did this. We were about 80 of us. And all the chaperones got in the same boat. I think about it now, that probably wasn't a wise idea, because if we all died, teenagers, So when we're on the same raft, and we're excited, we're high-fiving each other, as a matter of fact, we're excited about it, and while we're getting ready to go, we're getting all the gear on, and so forth, and we noticed that our boat was a bit quiet. And after we were kind of noisy and raucous, we looked back, and it was like, I mean, it probably wasn't true, but it just seemed like this. He was sitting there, it was like little beads of sweat. And he kind of had that, come on, my man! You ready for this? How many times have you gone down the river? He said, once. Now, the excitement that I had, how fast, let's go, kind of just crashed out of me real fast. And now I'm like, how about I just like watch him? I'm feeling a little bit tired underneath that bloody chain. And I'm just going to sit there and, kumbaya. What did that for me was his lack of confidence. Can I say this? I'm so glad I can have confidence in him because he's led the way. He's gone through every temptation, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, was in all points tempted, like as we are, not without sin. Praise the Lord for that. He knows the temptation. He knows the difficulties. He knows the problem. And as he leads you, he's leading the way, and we can take out all obstructions along the way. Praise be to God. I've been to the Grand Canyon. I've been to Pikes Peak. And it's just, and somebody went ahead and paved the trail. And that's what God's done for us. Now, this is a pretty rural area, right? I like Chicago, where I can drive and just like in and out. Especially when you have a church bus. Now, you shouldn't do this because it's a bad testimony. But it's kind of fun when you're in traffic and you kind of move and everybody's got to move because you're bigger than them. But sometimes you get into cities like Boston, and you get into the city, and it just doesn't make sense. Like, I don't get this. The way who designed this nonsense in the city? Now watch me. When you get into a plane, and the plane takes you upward, and you look down, it all makes sense. Even in the rural areas, I feel like, especially in Pennsylvania, you just wind over here, wind over your neck. Can we just get there without getting seasick? But you go up in an airplane, you go up here and look down, and it says, wow, the way it's supposed to be, because somebody designed it that way in their watch me, and I got to be there. Sometimes I'm raising kids, I'm serving in church, and I'm over here, and it just is all cluttered and just frustrated. And then watch me as I go up here with the Lord and I walk with Him, and I'm just going to look down like, there is a purpose. There is a plan. He's got it all laid out. I can trust my shepherd. He's purposeful. He leads us. He is a protecting shepherd. I'll close with this. He writes, I will fear no evil. The pandemic revealed some things to us, did it not? Our world is in a state of fear. People still drive down the road with masks on. And that's fine. That's still prerogative. But there was a, to me, it revealed a lot of people living. He says, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. My daughter Karis is a lot of fun to travel with. I'll be traveling with her on Friday. She's 10. And we'll walk somewhere. A lot of times her hand will just slide up into mine. And it kind of gives me this confidence that she's trusting that I'm going to protect her. My boys used to do that. Now they're both bigger than me, so now my hand goes into theirs. Now, let me explain this. And I think just three teenagers, so excuse me for picking on you, but I just need to. Because I'm leaving tomorrow, so it's okay. A fly to the airport tomorrow, and I'll go there with all my stuff, and I'll walk through the security line, and they'll say, take your shoes off, take your belt off, take your jacket off, take your eyebrow off. They'll just tell me, I don't know what it is, I must look like a terrorist, but I always get pulled off to the side. They say, I don't know what it is. I think I'm like a nice guy, but apparently they don't. And so it's almost like I should let them pack my stuff. It's been a lot easier. And then you get on, and they say, don't do this, and do this, and find myself with people who are concerned about my safety getting annoyed at them. Really? I can't stand up in the plane when I want to. You know what I'm doing this? And then I put your seatbelt on them. I'm not that. I'm not 46 living in the darkness. And what I've come to understand is, here's people. I'm just telling you the truth. They're concerned about safety and me. Can we apply that? Pastor comes in, he says, you know what? There's some things, some turbulence in our world. Put your seatbelt on, folks. We're going to tighten up some things in our church and those church members. At least I'm guilty in my church. Man, come on, you're not going to be that harsh. You're not going to be that rigid. You're not going to be that sick. Come here, we're turning up. I'm like, hey, let's go. Guilty. Mom says, don't wear that. Don't be with them. Don't watch it. Especially boys when it comes to mom. How old are you? And this is mom here, right? So when mom says, Tim, I was there. Sad to say. My son's been there. Another one's coming up, and he's going to be there probably. And the people that are concerned about your safety, you get annoyed at. And the person that's concerned about the watch care of the flock, be honest, be honest, he annoys us. And all they're doing it is for our safety. I'm glad God is a protecting shepherd. I'll close with this. There was once an actor. He did these Shakespearean plays and so forth. He was known everywhere for his one-man show of readings and recitations from the classics. He would always end his performances with a dramatic reading of Psalm 23. Each night, without exception, as the actor began his recital, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, the crowd would listen attentively, and then at the conclusion of the psalm, they would rise in thunderous applause and appreciation of his ability to bring the verses to life. But one night, just before the actor was to offer his customary recital of Psalm 23, a young man from the audience raised his hand. Sir, do you mind if tonight I recite Psalm 23? The actor was quite taken back by this unusual request, but he allowed the young man to come forward and stand front and center on stage to recite the psalm, knowing that the ability of this unskilled youth would be no match for his own talent. With a soft voice, the young man began to recite the words of the psalm. When he was finished, there was no applause. There was no standing ovation as on other nights. All that could be heard was the sound of weeping. The audience had been so moved by the young man's recital that every eye was filled with tears, and the actor was amazed. He said, I don't understand. I've been performing Psalm 23 for years. I have a lifetime of experience and training, but I've never been able to move an audience as you have today. Tell me, young man, what is your secret? To which the young man humbly replied, well, sir, you know the psalm. I know the shepherd. How many times have you been to a funeral of lost folks? And what psalm is almost quoted every time? People might even be moved. But my encouragement tonight is this. I believe believe most of you know the song. Most of you probably know the shepherd. But what does that cause you to do? Make it personal. Understand he has purpose. He can provide and he can protect. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen.